Hey, Sermon Audio World, this is Pastor Bill. I'm joined by Pastor Dave, and we're gathered around the Berean mic, and we're here to talk in particular about the Unitarian Universalists and their drive with humanism. This article is not brand new. It was posted about 6 months ago on the Huffington Post religion blog, and I just wanted to introduced us by saying that Roy Speckart is an American humanist, and he's the author of this piece, and we're going to talk a little bit about this, but I want to set the stage by first of all putting in a plug for you to listen to Pastor Dave's recording from last Friday, January the, good heavens, what was that?
What would it be?
The whatever. The
24th?
Yeah, the 24th, that sounds right. Where he taught in my senior Bible class, because I was otherwise committed, so I appreciate his expertise and always just a great perspective on history and the play that certain events have on the timeline with other events. And so he taught about humanism and its play with the Unitarian Universalists. Well, here's a piece called Welcoming Unitarian Universalists Home to Humanism. And so you can get that lecture on Sermon Audio. Just go to Berean Baptist CH of Fayetteville, North Carolina, and you'll find the recording from last Friday, or you can find another recording by Dave McManus and click on his name and then scroll down to that particular lecture. And this article kind of plays into that. This is six-month-old news, but I hope you'll enjoy this article with us. Many Unitarian Universalist leaders and quite a few individual congregations have openly moved away from viewing a humanist approach, free from theistic declarations, as the appropriate neutral philosophical place for all UUs to convene. It hasn't gone unnoticed, but the issue rarely gets addressed directly and openly. It's time for that to change. I remember you talking about this Friday. I was listening to this about how the Unitarian Universalists earlier last century started becoming quite humanistic and then came away from it. Could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, I guess the turning point that you see in history is the rise of transcendentalism. Ralph Waldo Emerson and his ilk that were so focused on self-reliance, so focused on you are your own keeper of your own destiny, you are the one that determines where your life goes and that kind of thing. And the Unitarians really jumped aboard on that and embraced that philosophy. And then you get to the 1930s when they published the first Humanist Manifesto. The American Humanist Association publishes the first Humanist Manifesto, and half its signers are Unitarian Universalist ministers. And so it went from what I talked about in the podcast, a movement, a religion that claimed to be based on the Scriptures. Now, we could go back and look at their core doctrines and know that they are not Orthodox Christians. But their leaders would have said, we are Christian. We
sure
follow the Scriptures. We are very biblically aligned, and we can defend it. That's what they would have said. And by the time you hit the 1930s, the humanism has really consumed the church, and it becomes much more of a godless organization from that point on.
But now they have seen the emptiness of humanism.
Yeah.
And you pointed out in your lecture on Friday, I think it was, that it's not cutting the mustard. It's not scratching the itch of a need for some higher significance. And now they're talking about how they see them leaning towards it. Now, before you taught that lecture, I had this podcast printed out, or this article printed out to talk about with my class on a podcast, but we kind of keep losing days because of weather, and so I figured we'd tackle it here. But interesting you should talk about the Humanist Association, the American Humanist Association, because here's a former president, Michael Werner, and he has a new book, Regaining Balance, The Evolution of the UUA. It's the first in a series being released by the publishing arm of the HUUmanists. Okay, so that's funny.
Yeah.
That exposes what he feels is behind the Unitarian Universalist Association's growing anti-humanist sentiment in favor of what he calls radical tolerance. The value of reason in religion has been discarded along with critical thinking, science, progressive thought, adding that a narrow ideology has taken over the UUA. So it sounds like Michael Werner is not feeling the whole humanism within the UUA. What do you think about that?
I think he's well. It's ironic because he's talking about it being a narrow ideology. And if you see this, the spiritual swing, it's not really a narrow ideology. You know, if they're narrow, then I don't want to know what we are, because we're so far past that sort of narrow, because they're embracing not Christianity again, not dogmatic teachings, not anything like that, but a new agey sort of just spiritual philosophy sort of thing. So he doesn't want any of that. He doesn't want to talk about these existential questions. He doesn't want to look at these spiritual things whatsoever. And I think the irony here is that when you look through the article, they talk about things like congregations, and they talk, you know, that there's so much
churchianity.
It just seems to me that they know that this is right. You know, it's like those atheist churches that we've seen pop up. You know, they know there's a need to gather, and they know there's a need to fellowship, and yet they try to make it in their own definition, and this is what we end up with, this ridiculousness of a farce of a church.
Yeah, they can't decide what they want. Mm-hmm. They, you know, back, we talked about Servetus, or Servetus, depending on who's talking.
Yeah.
This morning in our Bible class, and about how he's kind of considered the father of Unitarianism, and I mean, unless you want to go all the way back to Arius, but mm-hmm. in any case, they want a Christless God, really, is what it mm-hmm. comes down to, is how liberal they've gotten, all the way to a humanistic thing, because it seems like it was kind of a backlash against Calvinism in the late 1800s. The whole predestination, total depravity is really what mm-hmm. rubbed them the wrong way, and they wanted to say, no, we are not totally depraved. We have an innate spark of humanity that can, and that's really the natural outcropping of that is humanism.
Right.
And then they understand that really what all you have is a good club of good do-gooders. Mm-hmm. However you view that, that's really what they become without God. And so they're seeing a different change. And he says it's kind of a narrow ideology, and it's taking over the UUA. Well, first of all, let's understand that the UUA has less than 250,000 people in it as of 2003. And the Kingdom of the Cults by Ravi Zacharias, he revised Walter Martin's old work. And he says that in the 1960s, there was about 250,000. In the 1970s, it got all the way down to about 160,000. And now we're back up at about 225,000. So we're dealing here with basically, 300 million people. And UUA is kind of an American religion. It's kind of an American phenomenon. Started in Boston, more or less. And so if you have 300 million plus citizens in the United States, that means that one out of, good heavens. You know, if you have 160,000, that means that one in about 1,200 people you're going to meet is UUA. Well, that's not much. It's not much at all. One in 1,200 is not much. So I don't know exactly what kind of effect this is having, other than, you know, we're taking a jog in Kentucky, and we Together for the Gospel Conference, and I jogged past a Unitarian Universalist church, and it's just flowered with rainbows, and it has affirming signs on the outside. So really what this leads to is a do-gooders club peppered with a God of love ideology, where all he does is love, and so if you do something out of love, then it's godly almost. So such a statement from Werner is all more meaningful because, as humanist President John Hooper says, there is no one more dedicated to both Unitarian Universalism and humanism than Mike Werner. And yet Mike Werner is a little bit frustrated about the almost total humanism view of UUA. Yeah. Hooper explained to me that Werner's book is part of a larger project of creating a forum of UUs to consider the challenges facing the humanist movement within the UU. He said, in the spirit of Unitarian Universalism's fourth principle, calling for a free and responsible search for truth and meaning, the authors have been given the editorial latitude to tell it as they see it. So I'm looking forward to the vigorous dialogue that I'm certain Mike's monograph will generate. Monograph. Interesting.
Yeah. I think the other thing that you can see here is the postmodern idea of reason and faith being totally separate. And that's the argument that's being made. You know, that we've thrown out reason because we're doing spiritual things now.
Hmm.
And I think that's what and that's what the world's telling our church members as well, not just this Unitarian Universalist idea. So I think we've got to really make sure that we're clear that in no way are we throwing out reason. In no way do we have an unreasonable faith. I think the term leap of faith has really damaged our viewpoint, our worldview, because our faith is not a leap of faith. We don't have to hope that this is right.
You know, we have truth, we have logic, we have history, we have archaeology, we have science, we have all that on our side. And you can see it here that anything spiritual really bristles at the humanist.
And he's such a highbrower, isn't he? Mm. Werner's like, you know, I'm glad I'm a smart one here, and I would just like to balance out all the idiots that have faith. It's a little frustrating. I mean, I'm not going to spend any more than a few seconds thinking about being frustrated over it. I may very well take a Flintstone vitamin to take care of my headache over it because I'm that worried. But I'm a little frustrated over Werner's feeling that, you know, if you have faith, you're an idiot and you just haven't learned how to think like the rest of us.
Right.
And Werner and Hooper possibly what could a Werner and Hooper possibly be talking about regarding the challenges for humanists and the UUA? Well, it's a famously tolerant of differing points of view when it comes to religion, including a historical acceptance of atheists and agnostics after moving away from a Christian-based theology over a century ago. So there it is. It isn't uncommon for many congregations to be made up of a majority of non-theists of various stripes.
And that's why you had, and I remember there was, when I lived in Greensboro, there's a Unitarian Universalist church there. And I remember reading about it once, and it talked about how Christian, Muslim, Jewish, atheist, no matter what, you can come to our church. Which seems kind of ironic to me, because why would a Muslim, Jew, or an atheist, or a Christian come to a church that doesn't recognize their faith? But
yeah,
that they would have people come in, and it sounds ridiculous, it really does, but they would have people come in and give life lessons. You know, this is how you plan your life. This is how you organize it. This is how you do your finances. This is how you manage your time. That's what they would go and do on a Sunday morning.
As a matter of fact, I did a search for UUA on YouTube the other night to see if I could find some supplemental material for us to view as icebreakers in my Bible class, and really all I could find was lessons on finances and lessons on family.
Right.
And taught, or I guess they would call them preached, who knows, by Reverend so-and-so. And you're like, wow, can I see a sermon, please? And the best I could get, because I was looking up Channing, one of the first Unitarians of a couple centuries ago, you know, I couldn't find anything other than readings by the guy. There was no biography on him that I could find, video biography, anything like that. And I was really struck by what you're saying. There was very little higher authority. It was self-helpism. And really, that just kind of rings of humanism again.
Yeah, and I think that's what you see with the history of this whole thing, is these guys trying to get back to it now. But why have they gone away from it? Because that leaves you empty, because when you don't acknowledge the fact that we are sinful men, that we are fallen beings, that we are selfish, that we pursue our own interests, and you go with this myth that we're really good people. You know, it's other things that make us do bad things. We're really good people, and you spend enough time around people, loving themselves, lovers of themselves, as the scripture would say. What's going to end up happening? You're going to be disillusioned. You're going to be disappointed. You're going to be horrified at what you see.
Because you're going to realize there's not much to love
right. In
man as an entity. And, you know, I thought it was interesting. You're talking about, for example, Muslims going to a thing that calls itself a church on Sunday. How amazing of a concept is that? That a Muslim who is a pure Muslim and goes to Juma prayer on Friday night is going to worry with going to a church that started out Christian 100 years ago. He's going to, in other words, celebrate his religion of 1,400 years in running, and he is going to go to a religion that was Christian 100 years ago. If a Muslim does that, brother, it is purely politically or maybe community motivated.
Right.
I can't imagine a good Muslim saying, I'm going to go to something that reeked of Christ 100 years ago.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Very interesting. All right, so What has been happening over the past 10 to 20 years to the UUA? It's a failure to maintain reason as a guiding principle. Instead, the often laudable effort to be all-inclusive has become so dominant that in some congregations, identity has become so vague as to be insubstantial. In other words, it really doesn't amount to anything. Mm-hmm. This is due somewhat to the late 1900s postmodernism that Unitarian Universalists found so attractive, but the everyone creates their own truth idea that is the core of postmodernism has failed. And by hanging on to it, many UUA leaders and congregations are failing too. Well, the numbers tell the story.
Mm-hmm.
If everything's okay, well, then I don't need to go to UUA. I mean, it's a self-defeating principle, isn't it?
Right, yeah. And and what he says there, we would actually agree with. You know, that this postmodern idea that truth is relative, he has figured out, okay, that doesn't work. You know, we can't have this everybody has a different truth and think that we're one organization. I can't have Jews, Christians, Muslims, atheists, agnostics, New Age people in one group and think we're all going to think the same way. And so he's got a good point there. Now, his problem is his basis for truth has no more validity than theirs does. But he does see the fallacy of multiple truths and religious tolerance.
Yeah, and the other thing is that that I've noticed in addition to that is that the Unitarian Universalists have a lot in common with all other catch-all religions. Hmm. A theosophism, for example, based in, good heavens, I mean, you can say that there's a headquarters in Brooklyn. But in any case, theosophism was the idea of the late 1800s as well, where it seemed like, because it came from Britain in particular, it seems like it was just in the Rosicrucians of 150 years ago, the Swedenborgianisms of 100 and 200 years ago. These all came from a kickback to the idea of exclusivity found in Christ. Now, look, Christians who are pure Christians who acknowledge the exclusivity of Christ, they're no more dogmatic or exclusive than a good Muslim or a good Jew. That's why the religions like theosophists, the religions like Baha'i, where they say that, you know, Muhammad and Moses and Jesus were all just in a good line leading up to the Baha'u'llah. I know that some of you listen to this are like, what is he talking about? I just want you to notice that a lot of the religions of the world are nothing but Tower of Babel reincarnated. Let's get everyone together and let's just talk one language. We'll all speak the same thing. We're all one under God, whoever that is. And, of course, the baseline, when you don't have a common baseline, you can't really put substance to that.
Yeah, and I think what it literally says, he says, I'll be blunt, this is Werner, Unitarian Universalism is dying, and our officer Werner may be overstating here, but it's in serious trouble. Werner, who's also a longtime and active UU, doesn't really go that far either. What he means is that given their current direction, the present form of Unitarian Universalism is dying. His book outlines several ideas on which the church can rebuild its falling numbers, including the abandonment of radical egalitarianism and radical inclusiveness in favor of the responsible search for truth and meaning.
Wow.
Now, what I always talk about in history class is the pendulum swing.
Yeah.
You know, we go one way, and we figure out we don't like that, so when we change, it's, you know, the illustration I use with my class is, you know, when I'm in the car with my wife, and the heat's either on full blast, or she turns it off. You know, can we just put it on one and just let it warm up slowly,
yeah.
You know, instead of going all the way here and then off? And it's kind of what we do. She doesn't listen to sermon audio, we'd be all right. This is what we do with history. It's what we do with politics. You know, we don't like this party, so we swing all the way to the other side of the party.
Oh, my goodness.
And look what we've done. Well, Unitarian Universalism goes all the way to humanism. They find that doesn't give them truth, so they swing to the extreme opposite, which is this radical egalitarianism.
Isn't that something?
No matter what you believe, and isn't that the catchword of the day? Multiculturalism and religious tolerance, and this is awesome because we're all going to be in the same family. And now they figure out, all right, that doesn't work because truth doesn't work here. So now we're going to swing back, and he says we're going to find truth. But the problem is, without Christ, without the gospel, without the word of God, there is no truth. There's no absolute standard.
Right.
So the swing back to find reason again, well, where's he getting his reason from? From his own mind, from humanity, which is going to ultimately fail them once again. So it's a deadly pendulum swing that goes back and forth because their preconception is we're not going to go with absolute truth. We're not going to go with God. We're going to go with this idea of reason, or we're going to go with this idea that there's many ways to God and God is everything. And no truth is in either pendulum swing.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, I see Romans 1 all in this because, you know, they suppress their truth and unrighteousness. Mm-hmm. And, you know, God showed himself to them, but they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, so they gave him over to a reprobate mind. And there's all through Romans 1, verses 18 through 28, I see this. Because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, so their foolish hearts were darkened. And here they are, as you pointed out, on a search for truth when they have denied the source of truth. It's just ridiculous. So the UU needs to come home to humanism. And I think there's a better than average possibility that a larger number of UUs agree with me. But they've not been asked. This anti-humanist sentiment is coming from UUA leaders, not the laity. And not being an organization that has a nationalistic view of itself, many individuals and local congregations may be largely unaware of the problem or think it's a minor isolated issue. So I see the evidence of this frequently. I'll speak to the EU humanist in Fort Collins, Colorado, or Sanibel, Florida, or Fredericksburg, Virginia, or a whole host of other locales, and they just tell me something like, well, it's probably just at my congregation, but a new minister was chosen last year, and they use a lot of spiritual language that makes me uncomfortable, and it seems like the congregation is moving away from humanism. For those who find it in value in community, but don't mind leaving unanswered questions about the foundations of their convictions, the current director of Unitarian Universalism is probably seen as just fine. Okay, so for the knuckleheads out there that don't mind the Unitarian Universalist leader as is, the knucklehead probably doesn't mind the unanswered questions or the foundations of their convictions. Isn't that funny?
Mm-hmm.
They don't mind leaving the foundations of their convictions.
Yeah.
Inclusivism and egalitarianism that's a foundation of a conviction. Accept everything, accept everybody, and that's a foundation of a conviction.
Yeah, well, I think that's what he's saying, is in that world, you're not going to find any answers. But if you'll come back over here to humanism, we'll give you the answers again. You know, and he doesn't have the answers either. You know, why did they swing in the other direction? Because you didn't have the answers the first time. So
you're saying that Werner is writing a book where he's trying to get people to come back to the foundations of humanistic convictions.
Yeah, I think that's what he's saying, is we've got to get away from this spiritual mumbo jumbo and get back to quote unquote truth again, which is the whole reason they swung to the spiritual mumbo jumbo in the first place. So we've got this spiral going on, you know, call it the toilet bowl kind of idea. We're just going down, 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 because you're not going to find it.
And so he blames the lack of growth, middle of the last paragraph, he blames the lack of growth on frustration because of this overemphasis on theism. And it's marginalizing the unbelievers. And it's not a path of growth numerically or philosophically. In other words, the theists are holding us back from growing as thinkers, philosophers. So my challenge to the UUA members is to read Humanism and Its Aspirations. Is that a book? I guess it is. Yeah. Then start a conversation with the members of your congregation and its leadership about the direction in which UUA and your congregation is heading. In other words, what we'd like you to do is be absolutely divisive, if you can.
Yeah. As he said right there, if it's time to lose a third of our membership over this and fix it again.
Yeah.
Yeah. And my question is, what do a bunch of atheists get around and talk? Why do you need a church? Why are you gathering? Why do you need a minister? Why do you need a congregation?
Yeah, it seems like Cyberworld would provide all the self-talks I need.
Yeah, and I mean, you got plenty of other venues without this, but you know what's the end goal here of having a church that sits around? It's like the Seinfeld church. They just sit around and talk about nothing.
Right. Yeah. Well, with Werner, that's funny. Well, as far as Werner's concerned, his idea is to start a conversation and find out what's going on and how you don't like it with the congregation. My advice to UUA is that you not only acknowledge the Creator who made you, but the Son He has provided and the sacrifice for the sins that you have committed. That's my advice. It's pretty bold and pretty cut and dry. I would like to think that I'm a pretty good human, but I know better.
Right.
And my philosophy is fixed when I realize what God says about me. And on one hand, you know, what does God say about us in of ourselves? You know, we're past feeling, Ephesians 4. We're darkened imaginations. Our heart is deceitful, above all things desperately wicked. Mm-hmm. And by the same token, God says something different about the saint. What would you say?
Well, I mean, I think we've got a there's so much going on here in the sense of enlightenment, the sense of being a new man, the sense of being a new creature in Christ, a changed nature, a redeemed nature. Not perfect, not sinless, but very aware of our own sin, very aware of the Savior that we're desperately in need of.
Yeah, you know, I don't think I'm the first one to say this. But I've heard of John Piper's thing on hedonism and how you should lust for pleasure in the presence of Christ and how you find fullness of joy and pleasure at his right hand forevermore. And he sort of Christianized the term hedonism.
Sure.
Of course, I probably still wouldn't look for that in Google, you know.
I'm afraid. That might be dangerous.
Yeah. But what if we were to retake the word humanism and realize that we will never be as human as we're supposed to be until we're restored to the way God created us? Mm-hmm. If it's true that we only use 12 to 15% of our brain capacity, I have to think when Adam was created, when he named all the animals, when he had conversations, it seems like, with some of them, talking serpents, it doesn't seem like that was something out of the ordinary.
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't have any idea, but it seems like he was far more human than any of us have ever been, able to think like a human being. And I don't think we're going to lose humanity when we are glorified.
Right.
Can anyone imagine a fundamental Bible believer saying Jesus is no longer human because he's glorified? No way.
Yeah.
No way.
Yeah.
So somehow when we're being created or changed from glory to glory into the image of Christ, we're actually becoming more human than we've ever been.
Yeah, and I think that's a good point. I had not thought about that, but the idea of Jesus calling himself the Son of Man and being the second Adam, you know, could not that Adam had deity, obviously he did not. But do you think the human side of Christ was a lot like Adam was in the garden?
I have to say it was.
Yeah.
Maybe with one distinction, and I know you would say the same thing, and that is that Adam found the ability to sin, and somehow Christ did not have ultimately the authority, and therefore did not have the will to ultimately sin. But to think that, you know, Bible believers who believe that we're reshaped from glory to glory in Christ, eventually to be as glorified as Christ, as clear-minded as Christ, I think that means that we're the true humanists. Mm-hmm. In the purest sense, we are the ones that believe in the full potential of the human being.
Right.
Being restored in Christ in the kingdom to come. Can you imagine being able to think without a tired thought, without a clouded thought, to be able to, like it's the first morning in the garden, think and perform, and the joints and the sinews and the muscles and the tendons and the bones are all working exactly how they ought to be working, and never a tired moment. That boggles my mind.
Amazing. Yeah, and just to think about, you know, we see in a glass darkly or dimly.
Yeah.
You know, what was that? What did Adam see before the fall? Because it wasn't through a glass darkly. He communed with God.
Right. You know? So we're not Gnostics.
No.
We're not Platonists.
No.
We are all about being human beings because that's what God created.
Yeah, absolutely.
So we're humanists.
In the core sense of the word,
we're humanists.
In the way that God created him?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Yeah. Okay. Any closing thoughts?
You know, it's just the same thing we talk about a lot with this. There's so many ideas out there and that are counterintuitive to what we know from Scripture. So educate yourselves. I think these podcasts and these different things we talk about are useful. It's why we teach our students this before they head out into the world. It's getting assaulted on all sides, and it's being called in the name of reason and tolerance and all this other stuff, and yet it's just a lost philosophy.
Yeah. Well, I certainly appreciate you taking valuable time to join me.
No,
you had a great perspective and a different perspective, and quite frankly, I think you're just a little bit more pleasant to listen to. So I appreciate you being here with me and offering some of your expertise on humanism. I believe you have a couple lessons on sermon audio from your Bible class last year, don't you?
Yeah, there are several on a lot of different things, how a humanist would view politics or history or law, different things like that. So if you want more specifics, it's under the 11th grade Bible class teaching under my profile.
Thanks for listening. Please send us your comments if this has been a help to you. If you think that we're in left field of the football bat, send us an email or leave a voice message. If you think that we're in the nickel seats with a football bat, then just pray for us and save your comments. Thanks very much. See you next time.